If you'll turn to Romans chapter 12, we will start there. We will not stay there, but we will start there. It has definitely been a privilege to be a part of Madison Baptist Church here for this summer, and we still got about half of it to go for me, so I'm looking forward to the rest of it, but it's been a special blessing to minister alongside of Pastor Weiss and his family, and of course you all, but I've learned much. I don't know how many of you know the missionary C.T. Studd, but his life began as a cricket player in England, in the British Isles. He was a well-known cricket player, and in fact, he was on his way to become one of the best cricket players ever known. Yet, he's not known as a cricket player today. He's known as a missionary. He basically sold his life out to God. Started in China and then, I can't remember all the details, but went back for a while and left his wife in England and went to Africa. Basically saying, I don't know if I'm going to come back. I don't know if I'll be back in England. And he died in Africa. Gave his life to the African people. I can't remember where all he went, but he fully surrendered his life. He left, I guess, a hymn for us, and many of you might know the hymn, Only One Life. Only one life to offer. Only one life to give. Take it, dear Lord, I pray. And that's what he gave. The title of the message tonight is Complete Surrender. Are you completely surrendered? Romans chapter 12, and obviously you might say, well, of course you'd go here. This is only the starting point. This is the jumping board, if you will. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go to the Lord here in prayer and just ask his blessing over this message. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to be here in a building and with the body of Christ, learning and growing from your word. Lord, I ask that you would minister to each one of us here tonight. Would you speak through me? Lord, we want to hear your words. We don't want to hear the words of John Austin. And God, we know you're here with us. You've promised your presence. And we ask that you'd manifest it to us tonight. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
A life completely surrendered. What does it look like? Where does it start? How is it given? You see, we only have one life. We don't have multiple.
Right.
We don't even know how long we have on this earth. I don't have this in my notes, but I just feel compelled to share it. And not to bring sympathy on me or any of my friends, but I had a friend die July 3rd, 24 years old, a year younger than I am. But I can say of his life, it was completed. I don't know, some of you have watched the funeral, and there were many humanly great things said about him. And I can testify that all of them are true. He was completely surrendered to his authorities, to his pastor, to his parents, to God. Whatever he did because he was completely surrendered. There was none of, his name was Ben, there was none of Ben there. There was a lot of Ben there, but there was none of Ben there living through. It was Christ living through him. And so tonight, I would like to bring us and ask us the question, Are we completely surrendered in every area? Are there areas in our life that we have held back? Are there areas in our life where we're really not quite ready to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it"? Are there areas in your life where you feel like you don't have to go that far because you're already doing so much? You're already serving, and I feel somewhat hesitant even to go into this message because as I've been here these several weeks, Madison Baptist Church is surrendered. They're on the move. They're serving God. There's not much slacking or backsliding. But yet, have we done all? Is there something that we haven't quite done? I know for myself, there's for sure areas of growth that are needed. There are areas where I have to go further. I have to know Jesus further.
Amen.
And that's the question I pose to us tonight. Are we fully surrendered? Is everything in? Would you turn over to Luke? Luke chapter 9. This passage and this teaching is reiterated again in Luke chapter 14. Very similar context, very similar message, and also in a couple of the other Gospels. But here in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "And he said unto them, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Those two last words, "follow me," are what got me started on this journey. This journey of understanding surrender. You see, Jesus was walking on the seashore. And as he was walking on the seashore, he began to teach multitudes. And as he finished teaching the multitudes, he saw Simon and Andrew in their boats fishing. And he said, "Follow me." And the Bible says they left their ships. They left their nets. He walked a little further and he saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And he said, "Follow me." And they left their father, their nets, with the servants there and followed Jesus. They gave it up. Now, we know the end of the story, and they at one point go back to fishing. And you know, honestly, it is difficult even in our lives to stay surrendered. But that's why we have here, Jesus is telling the disciples, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. It's not a once in a lifetime. And this passage here is not talking about salvation.
Right.
Because we don't have to get saved daily.
Right.
He's talking about that daily surrender. Laying down ourselves, laying down John Austin, taking up the cross, the burden, the test, the trial, whatever it is that he has asked of me to carry and bring it. And the disciples there followed him and gave up all. Other passages, I think the passage there in chapter 14 says that if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Again, the context is not of salvation. It's a follower of Jesus, a day-by-day follower of Jesus. And, of course, Jesus is not asking us literally to hate our family. But it's that denial of those that we love, the things we love to do, one of those being ourselves. We have a lot of desires. We have a lot of passions. But yet, are they God's desires? Are they God's passions? I would say most of the time they are not. You know, our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked.
Right.
And the Bible says the only way to train the heart is through the Word, by meditating there day and night. James chapter 3 says the tongue is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. No man can tame it. But yet the Word of God can tame it. The Word of God can change it. The Word of God can transform it. When you are dead, but alive, holy, acceptable, and transformed in Christ, your life will be all that God wants you to be. Those three aspects, dead but alive, holy, and transformed, those come from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And those are the three main points we're going to look at this evening. Your life, dead but alive in Christ. See, the old man must die. When you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking, that old man did die. But there is a daily laying him aside. There's a daily resisting temptations and pulls of the world. I believe in 1 John chapter 5, we see that, and I'm not going to turn there, I guess, for time, but love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world.
That's right.
You see, we can easily get distracted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Even as believers.
Right.
Even as surrendered believers, yet pride still creeps in. Covetousness. So we must lay aside the old man. We're there. Hopefully you didn't turn away too far. Luke 9. Luke 9 continues on. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my word, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory, in his Father's, and of the holy angels. You see, there's somewhat of a consequence there. If you're ashamed of Christ, he'll be ashamed of you in that day of judgment. Not that you'll be cast away, but there will be a sense of you weren't willing to give it all because you feared man or you feared friends. There was something in your life that you just weren't willing to let go, even though Christ said, let it go. Let go of everything and follow me. And because you were not willing to let it go, it's demonstrating that shame. You're saying, Lord, I'm not willing. I would be ashamed. I would be embarrassed to let go of that and follow you. What is it to leave everything and follow Christ? What are we missing out on? The creator of the universe. The one who has a perfect plan for us. The one who provides all of our needs. The one who has dressed the field. And yet we're not willing to trust him. It seems ironic in one sense, but that is the human nature. That is the human heart. And until we realize, until we recognize, we're not facing, as the world calls it today, the depths of man are good. You know, the very essence of man is good. No, that is not true. There's no truth to it. If we just let go and let our passions drive us, it'll all be good. Absolutely not. The passions of our soul are wicked as man. The new man must be given permission to live. And that's that choice, that daily surrendering, laying down our life and picking up our cross. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, again, a familiar verse here. But there's an aspect of, yes, the old man has died. He has been put off, spiritually speaking. But it is a choice we must make every day. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. This morning we looked at John chapter 14 and 15 a little bit in our study of just being a disciple. And we saw there that we must abide in the vine. If we do not abide in the vine, we cannot bear fruit. We cannot have a relationship with the Father. We cannot have a relationship with the Son, because life comes through the vine. And it is only by being attached to the vine, clinging to the vine, abiding in the vine, that we can have that life flowing through us. And it is a choice. Colossians chapter 3, not too far away. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek. It's a verb. We must do it. It's not passive. It doesn't just happen. We must seek. We must seek those things which are above. We must seek the will of the Lord Jesus. The will of the Father. As Jesus prayed in the motto prayer there, that thy will be done. As he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. It is said of the Holy Spirit there in John chapter 16, I believe, that he has come not to speak of his own things, but the things that the Father hath given him. The Father's will. How much more we as human beings must we seek the will of the Father? Not that the Holy Spirit would have any other desire than the Father's, than God the Father's desires. But if he is willing to submit himself to God the Father, why are we so resistant to everything? Everything that the Father asks of us. Your will and desires must be left behind. You have no right to them. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, ye have been bought, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have been purchased. We are not our own. Secondly, your life, holy and acceptable. God is asking for a living sacrifice. But as pictured in the Old Testament, the animals were perfect. They were clean. There was no blemishes on them. He could not accept an imperfect sacrifice. And that's what he asks of us today. And as humans, yes, we are not perfect, but in Christ, we are righteous.
Amen.
Romans 12, 1 says, holy and acceptable. If he's going to ask something, he has enabled us to do it.
That's right.
It is said somewhat humorously, if God orders something, he's going to pay for it.
Amen.
He's not going to order something of you and then expect you to pay for it. He's with that asking, with that requiring, also enabling. You are called to holiness. Matthew 5, 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16 says, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's what he has called us to. Separate from sin, separate from wickedness, separate from worldliness. We have no right in those things. But yet we do tend to dabble in them. Turn over to, we're not far away. I guess we're right there. Colossians 3. It's two different passages as in studying for this message. Honestly, it was kind of difficult picking passages because it's all over. Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's all there. This aspect of surrender, laying down everything. And it's in different, wrapped in different packages, if you will. It's worded different ways. There's different aspects to it. But here in Colossians chapter 3, let's continue on a little further down. Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. Verse 2. Verse 3. For you are dead and your life is hidden Christ in God. When Christ is who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For the which sake, things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and having put on the new man. Now my focus tonight is not necessarily on that whole list of sins. I would imagine we all know those things are sin. Those things are from the old man. And we're not to be in those things. I forget if it's in Ephesians or Galatians, but it says, walk not as the Gentiles walked.
Right.
I guess it's in Ephesians there, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. It's not verse 6, but verse 11, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision. Nope, not that one either.
It's 4:17.
Alrighty, very good. I knew there was other passages there in 4. 4 is filled with basically the same list and more. But 4:17 says, This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And it goes on, kind of the same list. A little different aspect, but the same list. We know those things. We know we're not to walk in those things. But I'd like to draw our attention to even beyond those things which we know as sin. But those things that maybe aren't sin in and of themselves, but God has, it could be said, we have no business doing them because God has asked other things of us. In a sense, a higher road. So we are to walk in holiness, acceptable unto God. Humble yieldedness is the only acceptable service to God. It is humility. Amen. Philippians, there we all know the passage that Christ humbled himself, thinking it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of a servant. Those aspects of serving others, being a part of the body of Christ. You see, we are not part of the old man. We're not part of Satan's family anymore. He is not our father anymore. We are part of a new family, the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, there are things, there are ways we can grieve each other. There are ways we can hold back from ministering, from being that full member of the body. You see, I'm very thankful for all of my members. By God's grace, I have, to my knowledge, not broken any bone in my body yet. My brother was close. He fractured a tiny portion in one of his fingers, the tip of his finger. Each member of our body is a wonderful thing. Without an ear, without an eye, life would be different. Without a nose, blessing. No, smell is a wonderful thing. It's wonderful to smell food, to smell flowers, smell the fresh air. And it's a picture that God uses to speak of us as the body. We're all to be members one of another. I'm not telling you what part you are. I don't know that. In fact, I won't even necessarily get into what that surrendered life looks like for you. Because right now, that's not my place. Right now, that's not my purpose here with this message. My purpose is asking us the question, are we surrendered? What areas of your life aren't surrendered fully? What areas are there that you're not completely obeying? James 4:17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Right.
You see, those are the things I want to focus in tonight. We know what sin is. We know that we're not supposed to be there. But yet those things that we know we're supposed to do, the way the Bible words it there in James, it's as if it's saying they're really not sin. In the sense of, it's not hatred, it's not murder, it's not lasciviousness, it's not covetousness. But yet, it's more of self than of service. There's an unwillingness to yield oneself. Even the simple illustration Jesus gave us of washing the feet. Maybe it's not washing the feet of the disciples, of the brethren. But yet Jesus used that example to show us that there is nothing beyond our service. If the master was willing to do it, how much more are we? And maybe it's not just service. Maybe it's Madison Baptist Church goes out soul winning at such and such a time and such a day. Or street ministry on Thursdays at 6:30. Or some other aspect of ministry throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. Or maybe it's just church. Being here, not in the building, but with the body of Christ. Imagine if your arm decided not to get out of bed. That would be a tough day. Especially if you're right-handed and your right arm's there. Lying on bed, not willing to get out. And yet, how often is it that way with us? Oh man, I'm feeling discouraged. I really don't feel like I could even give the gospel today. I don't have the courage it takes to hand a tract to someone. There the right arm is in bed. Maybe it's just a finger. You know, there's no insignificant part in the body. Even the fingernail is very helpful.
Yes.
I don't know how, but if I was missing a fingernail, I would sure know it. Especially if it was just ripped off or it just went missing. And you see, that is our function as the body of Christ. Each one members one of another. And yet, how often do we just, maybe the Holy Spirit's there prompting you. I'll do it. I will work through you. 1 Corinthians 1, it says, our weakness is where he can show himself strong. That's his desire. That's his ability. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That's the reality. It's him living through us, even when we don't feel like living. Because it matters to the rest of the body. Are you fully surrendered? You know, there are probably aspects where you don't even realize. I don't even realize, you know what, that's an area where I'm holding back. I'm hindering the body of Christ in that area. But I'm not aware of it because I just haven't been listening. Haven't been listening to the Holy Spirit, been self-focused, been after my own desires. And would you analyze yourself through the Word? A couple passages you could do that, I'll mention these here. The end of Colossians chapter 3, as you continue on there. And Ephesians 4. Both of those chapters finish laying out what the believer should be. Walking in the Spirit, being a part of the body. But as we come to a close, wrapping it up here, why don't we go back to Romans chapter 12? If your life is holy before God and fully yielded to Him, you will be all that Christ has asked of you. The third point is life, your life, transformed in Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 finishes, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we're after. That's what we're looking at. Just mentioned here, James chapter 4, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Actually, that's James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 2 lays out faith without works is dead. And that's not to say if you don't have works, you're not saved. It's not what that passage is talking about. It's talking about your life. If you don't believe God, of course you're not going to see Him work. That's faith. If you believe God, if you have faith in God, He's going to work. John chapter 15 says, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. It says much fruit, and I'm not saying that's a ton of souls saved. It's going to be different for each one of us.
Right.
But it's according to the will of God, much fruit.
That's right.
Back here in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." And it goes on there. And I'm not going to read through the whole list. That's not necessarily my purpose here. But verse 20, pick up in verse 20, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." The rest of that chapter just lays out what the believer is supposed to be, who he is, how he is yielded, how he functions as part of the body of Christ. And I want to challenge you with that thought tonight. Are you fully yielded? Are there areas in your life that are not, just not all on the altar? If I could ask you to briefly grab your hymnal. Turn to hymn 293. Is your all on the altar? "You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid." All the verses are very significant. They're very helpful, but let's go to that last verse. "Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet we will share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid." Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest if you yield him your body and soul.
That's right.
Yes, it is salvation, but it is every part of our life. Are you sold out for God? Are you willing to do whatever he says, whatever he asks? It's often said in a message of surrender, is there an area where you're not willing to let go? But even further, is there an area where you're not willing to examine? Because you're not willing to let go. You're not willing to even know it's there. Could I encourage you with this week? Would you give your all to God? So that Madison Baptist Church, as a body of Christ, can be full and entire, wanting nothing. That Pastor Weiss can present you one day to Christ as the bride of Christ, perfect. Because there wasn't a finger left in bed. There wasn't a leg left in the living room. All were there. All were a part. There wasn't one ministry aspect that everyone was not willing, at least, to be there, if they were not physically able. Sometimes we're busy with work, maybe by choice, maybe not. Maybe there's a way to just say, hey, I need this day off. Not just this week, every week. Hey, can I get off an hour early here? Every whatever day it is? Because God is more important to me than those couple dollars and cents. Simply ask, would you examine yourself tonight? Are we sold out for God in every area? Let's close. Father, we thank you.